One Man's Family, brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer, and many other fine, dependable pharmaceutical products. Overheard between Clifford and Mother and Father Barber in the library.
How's Elwood taking the fact that Teddy's left him, Dad?
He's acting very manly about it, but he's crushed, Clifford. Crushed and desolate.
It may be only a temporary thing, Henry.
Teddy may come to his senses, but there's something very final about a wife packing up and leaving her husband. I dread to think of the consequences, friend.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it is with the barbers today. Did you come home worn out today, feeling miserable with a headache? Well, Christmas shopping can do it. We hope you're pretty well set by now and that you won't have to fight the crowd again. But in case you do, or whenever a tiring day brings on a headache, remember Alka-Seltzer. Yes, remember and take Alka-Seltzer for the fast, effective relief it can give. If you're downtown, stop in at a drugstore fountain for a glass of Alka-Seltzer. Keep Alka-Seltzer where you work, too, because where there's Alka-Seltzer, there's a way to fast relief from the pain and discomfort of a headache. That's Alka-Seltzer, your friend, in the friendly blue and white package. Chapter 6, Book 81. Across the Golden Gate from Seacliff, San Francisco, a foghorn sends out a distant, mournful warning. The Barber family home is closed tight against the bleak, damp chill of the night. A log fire burns bravely in the library, but Henry Barber sits dejectedly in his chair. Earlier this evening, he returned from San Rafael. He had gone there to have his grandson-in-law, Dr. Elwood Giddings, fix an aching tooth. But it is not his tooth which bothers him now. It is the crushing news he heard from Elwood. Elwood's wife has left him. Yes, late this afternoon, Teddy Barber Giddings packed her things and moved to a friend's apartment in San Francisco. Father Barber shakes his head in disbelief, and as he rises and moves toward the fireplace, he looks very tired. His wife, Fanny, and his son, Clifford, sit silently watching him. He stands for a long time looking into the fire, and then he turns and speaks to Clifford.
Clifford?
Yes, Dad?
Paul said he was coming right home when you talked to him on the telephone?
That's right. Said he'd jump in his car and get over here as soon as he could. Of course, it's quite a little drive from the airport in here, but he'll be here
but
pretty quick.
What in the world would he be doing there on a foggy night like this, do you suppose?
Said he was getting out some reports, something like that.
Henry, dear, why don't you sit down? You look so tired.
I'm restless, Fanny. I can't sit still.
Your tooth hurt you?
No. It would fix that up in fine style. It doesn't bother me.
When did he tell you about Teddy, Dad, after he finished with your filling?
Not a word about his own troubles until he had relieved me of my pain. He was sympathetic and solicitous about my toothache, and he wasted no time getting at it. When he was all through, he told me that Teddy had left just a short while before I arrived. He acted very manly about it, but he's crushed, Fanny. Crushed and desolate. I asked him to come back with me and spend the night here, but he didn't want to. He's going to stay on the job and work. He said that work was the best antidote. And of course, he's right.
Well, it may be only a temporary thing. Teddy may not have left for good.
She may come to her senses, but there's something very final about a wife packing up and leaving her husband. It's a serious breach. Yes, I dread to think what may follow as a result. What can Teddy be thinking of? She was never a flighty girl, always seemed to have a good head on her shoulders. And now she does a foolhardy thing like this.
Maybe it all comes down to the fact that she just doesn't love Elwood, Dad. And if she doesn't, there's nothing that can be done about it.
Well, she loved him enough to marry him, didn't she?
Well, sure, I guess so.
And hasn't he done everything that is humanly possible to do to make her happy since their marriage? Why, I don't believe he's denied her a single thing it was in his power to give her. Yes. And in return, she packs up and leaves. I don't understand it. I simply don't understand it.
Henry, you're just going to wear yourself out worrying about it.
Yes, I'd like to give the young lady my idea of the foolishness of what she's done.
But it isn't your place. She's Paul's daughter. You'd only cause trouble if you tried to interfere.
My dear, I have not interfered, have I?
No, Henry.
Very well. But I tell you this much. If this separation moves on to a more critical stage, if it reaches a point where divorce is contemplated, then I will enter into it. I'll fight such a step with the very last ounce of my strength. There has never been a divorce in this family, and I have always taken great pride in that fact. This is one family that is going to stand steadfast and strong against this modern attitude of treating marriage as a casual relationship that can be severed by a whim. I've dedicated my life to the sanctity of the home and the holiness of the vows of matrimony, and I'll go to my grave upholding that viewpoint. And the sooner our nation returns to this principle and embraces it with the same conviction of its essential rightness that we were taught to regard it, the better able we'll be to withstand the onslaughts of all the isms that flourish in the world today. Isn't that right?
Of course it's right, Henry. But until we have to face something like that, I don't think you should get yourself all worked up about it.
Sure, Dad. Let's just kind of wait and see what develops. This may have been just a little flare-up on Teddy's part. It might all blow over. Maybe after she stayed with this girl for a few days and had a chance to think it over, she might decide she wants to go back to Elwood.
And if she doesn't, what then?
Well, then it's anybody's guess what'll happen.
Yes.
Who is this girl Teddy moved in with? What did Elwood tell you her name was, Henry?
Maud Pemberton. I have her address and telephone number written down. I got it from Elwood.
Do you know her, Clifford?
No, I've never met her. I've heard Teddy speak of her several times, though. They took training together.
Yes, nurse in a private hospital, I understand. Has an apartment, lives alone. I doubt if she'll be a very good influence on Teddy.
She may be a perfectly splendid person for all you know about her, Henry.
I think I'll go up to Paul's studio and wait for him up there.
All right, and lie down and rest. It'll be good for you to be alone so you can relax.
Yes, well, Henry. It's been a trying day. You'll send Paul up when he comes in?
Yes, Henry.
Good night, Clifford.
Night, Dad.
Oh, dear. Father's taking this so hard. But he won't go to bed till he's seen Paul.
Yeah. I don't see what good that's going to do, though. Nothing Paul can do about it. At least he's not going to be able to do anything tonight.
Well, your father would feel better after he talks to him anyway. Paul's always so reassuring when there's trouble.
Yeah, he'll be smoothing Dad down and be bleeding to death inside himself.
Clifford, don't use that awful expression. It's terrible.
Oh, I'm sorry, Moms. You know what I mean. This blow-up of Teddy's hit him like a ton of bricks when I told him what had happened over the phone.
Well, what did he say?
Just a very quiet, oh, I see. And when he gets quiet like that, you know what's going on inside. He's crazy about Teddy. And if her marriage goes to pot, I think I heard the door. Is that you, Paul?
Yeah, I'll be right in.
I hope he wore his heavy overcoat today.
He knew he was going to be late. He probably did. Hi, fella.
Hi, Cliff.
You frozen, Paul?
Pretty cold, all right. How are you, Mom?
Get close to the fire, Paul.
Where's Dad?
He's waiting for you up in your studio.
Oh.
He couldn't sit still waiting for you to get here. He's terribly upset about this.
Yeah, told me when he called me. I guess I'll go on up. I want to hear what Elwood had to say to him. I don't suppose Teddy's called or sent any word, has she?
No, she hasn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll go up and see Dad. Good night.
Night, Paul.
Night.
Clifford.
Hmm?
Hasn't this separation been brewing for some little time?
Well, what do you mean?
I mean that Teddy and Elwood haven't been getting along. I don't think she left him because of something that happened in the last day or two.
Well, you may be right. What makes you think so?
Well, the way Teddy's been acting. Don't tell me you haven't suspected something was wrong, too.
Oh, sure.
Of course. I tried to tell your father, but he wouldn't even listen. He's so mad about Elwood, he's insisted they were perfectly happy.
Yeah, I think he really thought so. That's why this is so hard for him to take.
Well, Paul must have known Teddy wasn't very happy, too. Don't you think so?
Oh, yeah, sure. This didn't exactly come as a surprise to him, but it was a shock just the same. You know, that the break had finally come.
Yes.
Wonder what he's going to do, try to get in touch with Teddy or wait for her to make a move?
Your father wants him to talk to her right away.
Yeah. I guess that's why he was so anxious to see Paul. But it's going to take more than talk to patch this up. I'll bet on that.
Yeah, certainly I see your point, Dad, but I don't think it's going to accomplish anything tonight particularly.
We can't just stand by and let this go on without making some effort to bring about a reconciliation, Paul.
Dad, I know this is going to be bitter for you to swallow, but I don't think a reconciliation is possible the way Teddy feels now. And even if we convince her to go back to Elwood, assuming that he wants her to...
Of course he does. He's beside himself. He told me when I left there this evening how much he loved her and always would.
Yes, but Teddy just left today. She's made up her mind. It's going to take time before she changes it, if she ever does.
Then you think it's hopeless, Paul, that their marriage has gone completely to smash?
I really don't know, Dad. And to be honest, I don't know what I should do. If Teddy wanted to talk to me, she would call me, I think. On the other hand, she probably feels guilty and is waiting for me to call her.
Yes, she has reason to feel guilty.
Well, she can't help it if she doesn't love Elwood, Dad. No matter what she's done, right or wrong, I intend to let her know that I haven't forsaken her, that she can count on my love.
Mm-hmm.
Hand me that number you've written there, huh?
Yeah?
That phone number of Marty Pemberton's, Dan.
Oh. Here.
Thanks.
Oh, you change your mind about calling her?
Yeah. I hate to think she was over there in that apartment feeling desperate and forsaken by her family.
Is it ringing?
Yeah. They may be asleep.
Yeah, not likely. Have you ever met this Maud Pemberton person?
No. No, I haven't.
Still ringing?
Yeah.
They've gone out.
Afraid you're right. No answer.
Your daughter is probably out celebrating her newfound freedom, Paul.
The Barbers will be back in just a moment. Mothers, when the children have a cut or scratch, bathe it with Bactine.
Bactine has amazing germ-killing powers.
When the itching and burning of athlete's foot causes discomfort, bathe them with Bactine.
Bactine has amazing germ-killing powers.
When you're caring for the sick or preparing food, be sure your hands are clean. Bathe them with Bactine.
Bactine has amazing germ-killing powers.
Get a bottle of Bactine from your druggist and try it at our risk. See how wonderful this new family antiseptic and general-purpose germicide really is.
Bactine has amazing germ-killing power.
Yes, and all we ask you to do is try Bactine. We know you'll like it. Bactine is a clear, colorless liquid. It is gentle to the skin, does not sting, stain, nor burn. And yet,
Bactine has amazing germ-killing power.
Get a 30 or 70-cent size bottle from your drugstore. If you don't say Bactine is the finest family antiseptic, that it has more helpful uses in your home than any antiseptic you've ever used, return the empty bottle to Miles Laboratories, tell why you don't like it, and we'll give you double your money back. Yes, double your money back if you don't like Bactine. Spelled B-A-C-T-I-N-E. Bactine. Remember,
Bactine has amazing germ-killing powers.
Here's the family again.
Dad, why don't you go to bed? There's nothing that can be done tonight.
Yes. I trust you won't delay, however, in pointing out to Teddy how serious this is.
I'm sure she knows it's serious. The question is, can anything be done about it?
Friends, remember, try Bactine, the marvelous new family antiseptic and general-purpose germicide. Get it on the no-risk guarantee of double your money back if you're not satisfied. Go to your drugstore and get a 30 or 70-cent bottle of Bactine. Try it for many of its amazing uses. Then, if you don't think Bactine is the finest family antiseptic you've ever used, if you don't find more uses for it than any other antiseptic you've ever used, return the empty bottle to Miles Laboratories, tell why you don't like it, and get double your money back. Get Bactine right away. B-A-C-T-I-N-E. Bactine. One Man's Family is brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Tomorrow, Teddy confides in Maudie, Chapter 7, Book 81. This is a Carlton E. Morse production, directed by Michael Raffetto.